Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 271 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Yo.
How's the nerves?
Yep.
Yes.
I am definitely spending more and more time throughout the week thinking about how important this game is, and less time focusing on, you know, life.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. I am at that stage. I never remember dreams, ever. I know for a fact I've dreamt about this game the last two nights.
Did we win?
One of the times we did.
It's not going to be like Avengers Endgame, is it? There is one in 6 billion. There is set of circumstances.
I'm sure that's a great reference, Casey, but... As you know, I haven't seen any of the films, mate.
Jack doesn't watch the films. loves the series though.
Yeah, it is ridiculous how, like, today at work there hasn't been many of us in, but three of us are Leeds fans. So you can imagine that was just the entire focus of anything. Even when there was nothing new to say, just everything about that. And luckily that came into practice at about 1:30 when Daniel Farke came out and said what I think everyone was expecting, no Bamford.
I mean, after the Norwich game, he was only ever going to be on the bench anyway, wasn't he? Let's be honest. As shocked as I was with the changes he made for the Norwich game, I would have been amazed having missed the last 4-5 games of the season if Bamford just went, yeah, back in the team. There you go. Be fine.
I mean, it would have been nice to have him available, but it didn't sound likely the way they were talking. He said there's been a few knocks and stuff, which you'd expect at this stage of the season, but he basically said everyone else should be fit, including Byron, but he didn't make it... I wouldn't think for a second Byron starting anywhere, so I'd think he'd be on the bench as well. As for Southampton, their two, obviously, Bazunu and Stuart Armstrong have been out for the season for ages, and the backup left-back, whose name I can't remember. But there were doubts over Che Adams and Ross Stewart, but unsurprisingly, given everything, they're both fit. He did come out and say that he was very pleased with Che Adams making himself fit, because, I mean, it's a playoff final, you're going to make yourself fit, but he's out of contract in the summer and he's got the Euros coming up.
Yeah.
So he was saying that he's really pleased with the way that he's worked hard to get himself back fit. If this was just for the last league game of the season with nothing at stake, there is absolutely no way Che Adams is fit. But for a big game, you're going to be.
It's also quite funny because realistically, I like Che Adams, but if you do well in this game and Southampton get promoted, then you're really not getting that new contract.
By all accounts, he's off to Wolves.
Huh.
Apparently. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, we'll be linked with him.
Che Adams to me feels in the Olivier Giroud role of, look, we've got this striker, and yeah, he's fine, but we're actively signing other people. And when it goes wrong with those other people, we will start playing him again, and he will do at least a decent job.
Yeah. That's the nicest compliment anyone's ever given Che Adams to compare him to Olivier Giroud. But it is that everyone thinks they can do better. Turns out, nah.
All you've got to do is just stick it out long enough to go, well, you fucked that, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, we'll see what he does in the Mullus. It's weird with Southampton because the last time that we talked about the Southampton game, it was last game of the season where we always had to fully go for it and everything. We were sort of expecting them to be in the 4-3-3 because that's what they normally do, but they played three at the back at Elland Road and it really worked, so I'm assuming they're going to again. As everyone is fit, I'm guessing the same back three: Howard Bellis, Jan Bednarek and Jack Stevens, and that them being a really solid base and putting Flynn Downs in front of them, that'll let Kyle Walker-Peters and, to a lesser extent, Ryan Manning, but mainly Kyle Walker-Peters, bugger off up the pitch and basically Kyle Walker-Peters will be a right wing back in name only. He'll be playing on the wing.
Goddamn Flynn Downs. Goddamn Flynn Downs. He was something of a wind-up merchant, I think, during the last game of the season, wasn't he, if I remember rightly?
Because I knew that we weren't going up, I can honestly barely remember that game.
It's probably for the best, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're a good team, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a really good side. I mean, there's a reason if I just... Because I do have them open as I do for everything. The championship. Yeah, I had Southampton winning the league in pre-season predictions. Connie had them second. You had them in fifth. Alex had them in fourth. So, we were all expecting them to do really well. I do think that their squad is marginally better than ours. The main thing that is when I look at their team and then talked about, and then I had notes on some of the other options I could play, and then after that put, and that doesn't even, none of that I've looked at accounted for David Brooks, Ryan Fraser, Shea Charles, Sam Adozie, Joe Rothwell or Kamaldeen Sulemana, and they're all really good players, and they're all really good players that will probably just be on the bench for this.
It's a fairly well-rounded squad.
Who of the Southampton players worries you the most? Probably other than Adam Armstrong, who, just because he scores goals.
It's Kyle Walker-Peters, to be honest. Like you say...
Because he turns into Messi every time he plays us.
Right back in name only. And especially if you've got two wide players sort of going up against Junior Firpo. Much as I have come to enjoy Championship Junior Firpo, it seems like it could lead to a bit of a torrid time for him. But if you're Southampton going into this, despite how good we were against Norwich, you're probably the ones coming into this game with the more confidence and probably the more willing to take risks of the two.
Yeah, I think that's true. And to be honest, I think we should kind of want it to be that way as well. I think if we do what we did against Norwich and fully just press and really go after them, I think Southampton are good enough that they'll just play the way around with the bodies they've got at the back. One of Smallbone or Aribo will make that run again, where they just fuck off past us midfield. And we'll get outnumbered and it'll lead to big chances. It isn't sitting a low block by any means, but we do have to stand off a little bit and sort of drag them out, because our best chance of getting a result here is to have space to counter-attack into.
Yeah, I think it's why you kind of fall into this slight thing of, against a team like Southampton, I wouldn't have minded us going back to the shape we had in the first leg.
Before we played so well in the second leg, that's what I was thinking. But now I don't see any way that we don't play the same thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, so unless you kind of have... It would probably need to be Georgie, but you would want maybe one of them playing as a... whoever is playing as 10 is, actually playing as a deeper player, or playing deeper when we're out of possession.
I think the way that Smallbone and Aribo make those runs, you're going to get Gruev and Kamara not only forced deep a lot, but forced wide a lot. So I think it will be very important for Georgie to have a good game off the ball. And I know that Rutter and Pirro will flip at times, but I think if this time it'll really properly be mostly Rutter. Because Pirro's fresh off probably his best game as a 9 for Leeds.
Yeah.
And you're going to need Rutter's chasing around and pace and as much willingness to just foul someone, which he does do a lot. Like if they step up, if he's having to chase back, sometimes you might just have to, He's quite good at doing it without getting booked. So we might need a bit of that.
I think it's when your legs are that long, it can look a lot more accidental than it is.
Mm.
But yeah, I agree. And then I think it probably suits us as well there. If you are winning the ball in our half, that you've got Georgie, Nonto and Somerville, the ones breaking from deeper, because I don't think it suits Pirro as much. Like, it's probably best having him as the man already up there, and then having those three as the ones kind of breaking out.
Yeah. In theory, it's sort of the ball forward into Pirro, who's dropping onto it, and then they all run past him.
Yeah.
And that's where the pass should be. I think with the way they're setting up, it's going to be weird, because I think you might get like Rutter dropping quite deep, sort of in possession into a set mid, and then Nonto and Somerville going a bit narrow with them having the three. And sort of Gray and Thurpo directly marking Walker Peters and Manning almost. So it might end up with like a really sort of like wide but high shape at the high up on the wings and then sunken in the middle. It's going to be an interesting one, because we can't just play the way that we did in the other two games, because it did not work.
Yeah, I think, certainly thinking back to the final day of the season, and you just look and just think, we have got to be so disciplined in this game. You can't afford to, especially sort of the likes of Manning and Walker Peters, you can't give them the space or let them get in behind you. And
especially Walker Peters, he does scare me.
But especially Ryan Manning. It needs to be that organised thing of, you know, Nonto probably needing to leave the left centre back to carry the ball for the time. Stick with, you know, maybe then once you're getting towards the halfway line, right, that's when we've got to look at you maybe stepping up. But if you're making that press high up the pitch, you're just going to give the wing back so much space.
Yeah.
And we've seen on much smaller pitches that, you know, if you're making Gruev have to run 20 yards out of position, it's even worse at Wembley than it is at, you know, Vicarage Road. And not Vicarage Road.
Loftus
Road.
Wembley's pitch isn't actually that much bigger than
Ellen. It's fucking massive. It's twice as wide as Ellen Road. Four times as long.
200, mate. It's 200 by 100.
And that's why Arsenal never did anything in Europe when they played there, before they knocked it down and rebuilt it.
Yeah. In theory, that's the good thing about having, what has it been, like 9-10 days to prepare. That they should have been able to work on very specific plans. However, it means Southampton have also had time to work on specific plans. So.
Bastards.
Yeah. Up front, they will probably, if they play three at the back, they'll play two up top. I would expect it to be Che Adams and Adam Armstrong. Ross Stewart is also fit, but I think he'll be on the bench along with Sekou Mara, who are, you know, all good players. To be honest, Ross Stewart, if he comes on, he worries me, because he's very hard to deal with, because he's massive and he's really good at holding the ball up. And he's running in behind is a lot better than you'd think it'd be. And he's a yard quicker than you think he is, or at least he was before his knee exploded. I can't be sure now. Obviously everyone needs to have a big game, but that I look at that and it makes me think that Roden needs to have a big game, which I think he did in the first leg against Norwich, the way that he just stepped up and won things whenever he had the chance. And his decision-making was really good.
Yeah, and then I think the second leg, he also just didn't let the whiny bitchiness of Ashley Barnes get to him. He just sort of carried on playing football.
Yeah. Do another one of them where, whether it's Adams or Armstrong on his side, whichever one it is, just another day like that where he just doesn't let him have anything.
Yeah, and I think the hope is now that you kind of see that we've had back-to-back clean sheets again, and we've played something like we were at the start of this year. there's that realization of, oh no, yeah, we can do this. We were fine. And yeah, the hope that the 10 days offers, you know, the 10 day gap will have done them a bit of good. I know obviously there is no way of getting through that time without the players constantly thinking about this game, because it is absolutely massive, but I think it probably does them a lot of good to have that time on in the training ground and not be having to look to a game that's, right, you finished that, well done, good result, now you've got another game in 2 days.
Because we're playing Southampton, I agree. You know, if we were playing West Brom, I'd have been like, no, I wish the playoff final was in 2 days. Because I think then it'd benefit us. Whereas I think if it had been a short break for this, it'd probably have benefited Southampton slightly more.
It's one of those where me, with my distinct lack of qualifications in any sort of psychology, let alone sports specified, I think I sort of look at it as it must be quite nice after a massive game like that, when you've not played well, that you actually get some time to really sit and digest just how good we played against Norwich. I think you get to actually soak that in for a few days and take that and hopefully, you know, play with a lot of confidence when you go back into training then. That will all go out the window when we concede in the first 9 minutes at Wembley. Well,
that literally brings me on to a thing that I have written right here. Keep it tight for 20 minutes. If we can score, great, but we need to keep it tight early, because we have not done that in either of the games against him. I mean, it was like quarter of an hour at Elland Road, and it was, what, 2 minutes in the away game?
Yeah, I wouldn't be at all almost against that first 20 minutes or so of Kamara and Gruev sort of both being holding mids and just let them two sit deep, pat, you know, almost at play with sort of a back six, and just if the chance is there, let the other four go and just have them sit deep. And then as the game wears on, that's when you kind of free up Kamara a bit more to sort of start making later runs or pressing a little bit higher.
But play, I think,
yeah, exactly. Just like you say, classic Sunday league, nothing daft here, lads. Put it long, put it wide. Big lads, head it back inside. But yeah, I suppose, given my experience with attending playoff finals, it's whether it happens in early on or midway through a half, it's a horrible feeling, regardless of how early it seems to be.
I was just thinking, we've talked a lot about the players that we're worried about. When you look at, because as I say, if we're expecting unchanged, and we've talked about the way they're going to play, who do you think is the key players for, if we're going to get the win here?
I think if you go back to what we were saying earlier about the sort of trying to hit them on the break, you're looking at Nanto and Somerville, and the hope that with how far forward their fullbacks can get, that you're trying to get into these 3v3 situations where you maybe drawing one of their centre backs out. You know, most likely Stevens or Harwood Bellis are probably the two that you're looking to tempt out to create a bit more room in the middle. You know, I know both their wing backs have got the athleticism to get up and down all day, but it's just making those opportunities count. And if we're sensible in those moments and make the right choices with the ball, you're getting them to do a lot of running up and down. And, you know, that's the sort of thing that matters late on in a game. You know, if you don't put their defence under much pressure, Kyle Walker-Peters has a fairly easy afternoon of kind of doing what he wants. But if you do well on the, you know, in the transition, then he's having to bust a gut to get back over and over again. So you're sort of hoping to knacker the wing backs out and draw your right and left centre back out a bit more to create a bit of space for Piru in the middle.
Yeah, I was just looking at it, like looking at the, fortunately for once, who scored has the exact teams that I think it's going to be for their preview. So I was just looking at it, and I was just looking at a left side of Stevens as left centre-back, Aribo as nominally left centre-mid, and Manning at left wing-back. And I was thinking, all three of them, I fancy Nonto. So I'd be quite like it. I know that our standard build-up is to use the left a lot, but I'd quite like us to use the right a bit more in this, because I fancy Nonto running at them. And I think that was a thing we did really well in the second leg, was we ran at players and beat them. And with the way they're set up, I think that we're going to need to do that again. People are going to have to beat a player to create the space.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And it's that daft thing of certainly one, you've got Somerville who, whether you think he was the championship player of the year or not, was certainly a contender for it. You know, unquestionably one of the best players in the division. You've got Nonto, who at this point has the experience of playing top level international football.
I'm hoping has been a point to prove, having not been named in the squad.
Yeah, you really hope that. You know, I think one of the big criticisms for us this season has been when we are struggling in a game, the tactic has been get it left and hope Somerville does something. Yeah. And you just kind of wish, like, no, give it to Nonto. He has the ability to do it. Similar to whenever Dan James has come on in those games as well, we just like, just try down the right, just because they both have their strengths in that. Nonto is a very skillful player. Dan James, you obviously have the pace angle with it of just knock it past him. You're going to beat him.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of wish that at times that the team would. I don't know if it's ever a knowing decision that is made of just we best give it to Somerville, but with the amount of times it happens in games, you just like, I just try the other side. This isn't working. Use Nonto. He's really good.
Yeah. Dan James could be very interested in this game with sort of 20 minutes left, depending on what the situation is.
Well, given the, you know, how big the pitch is.
Yeah. Got 270 yards to run into. So the only other thing that I've got like noted down in the quick finish work notes that I did was I'd like us to be a bit more willing to shoot in this one. Over the course of the season, I think that they're right. You know, when it's, yeah, you've got this chance, but you play the pass because you're looking to create the great chance. And I think that is actually, I'm sure if you look at every bit of stats analysis and all of that, that's the right thing to do. In a one-off final, if you get the chance to have a clear shot, you probably want to be taking it on.
Yeah,
it might only take one, and you don't know how many of them you're going to get. You don't do ridiculous, like when George is frustrated and he just starts smashing it from 35 yards, having turned down the shot from 10. Like, you know, we don't want those ones, which he does occasionally, but if we're able to get any decent shot, a clear shot at goal, I don't want us to waste it recycling it to try and get it back in this game. Because as good a goalkeeper as Alex McCarthy is, he's not infallible. And you don't want to die wondering in a game like this.
No, it's kind of one of those things where you, like, I look back to the Doncaster game, and literally the only chance I can remember is Johnny Howson hitting one from, it's probably about 20, 25 yards, it's literally the only positive thing I can remember from that day. Yeah. And like you say, it's that thing you just hope with some of the players that you don't want them to be sat there at the end of the game going, why didn't I just pull the trigger? Like, why didn't I just have a go? And again, you looked at the way we created chances in that Norwich game. In that second leg, the build-up play was so nice, and I think if we play the game right, we will have that space to play in and sort of move around like we did. And you just hope that, yeah, that just, if you're around the 18-yard box, have a go. Like, certainly people like Joel Piru, just back yourself.
Yeah, back yourself, be confident, is what I would think one of the last things that Farker will say to him before the game.
Because, have a go, lads. Georgie, knock it wide, yeah?
Because, but at this point, like, for everything that we can think about tactically and all that, at this point it is, I think it's two teams that are very evenly matched. I've said I personally think Southampton's squad is marginally better. But in a game like this, a lot of it does come down to who handles pressure better, who takes that chance when it comes, who anticipates, who doesn't make that mistake.
And I'd probably look at between the squads as well. I could be wrong with this, but as I kind of look at them, I don't think there's a massive amount between them in terms of players who've had massive moments in one-off games like this. I think we've both got a fairly good spread of, there've been players who've been involved in promotions, there've been players who've been involved in relegations.
Yeah, I would think you're right. I mean, probably there's two players that have played in a European final, one each. Because Kamara and Joe Aribo both played for Rangers in the Europa League final.
Yeah.
But yeah, there isn't loads of difference. It isn't a massive thing. Like, I've just, fortunately, because it's the team we're expecting. Like, Southampton's average age is best part of 4 years older. So they have got that bit more experience. Like, I've been really impressed with Will Smallbone the last few times I've watched him. He's a much better player than I realised.
And I think he's a good player. Terrifying head, but it's really off-putting. Because I was trying to look for him in their squad list and I was like looking for a bald man and there was not a bald man on the list.
Is the alopecia thing that recent?
I assume so. Like, I was just looking at it here. Poor lad, he's 24.
Yeah. But I would say, like, he strikes me as someone who'd handle it quite well. Bednarek is one of the most experienced players on pitch. And if I was going to pick a Southampton player to do something weird under pressure, I think I'd be picking Bednarek. He does weird things every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, you've already got a goalkeeper back there who is not very comfortable with the ball at his feet. Because he is one that, again, has kind of come in and out of the team. And when he does come into the team, he is a decent keeper. But if you're trying to play out the back, he's not the player. You've then got a centre-back who's, again, has one of those in him where you're just thinking he's one daft pass away from giving you possession 30 yards from goal. But again, you also don't get to this position in the table without being good at this level. So
no, I mean, it's two good teams. Like, you know, it has come down to there were four teams in this league that were the standouts. Leicester won the league and deservedly so, Ipswich have got second and deservedly so, and the playoff final is third and fourth. Like, it has. Before the season, I think most people's top three were the three relegated teams, and then Ipswich are the ones that people didn't necessarily know were going to do it. I am terrified going into this game. One thing that we'll have in this game as well, which will be great fun, is we've got VAR.
It's what we were all calling for, wasn't it?
Yeah. I want to say now, whether it benefits us or fucks us over, I want to say now, I wish that we didn't have VAR in this game.
I mean, genuinely, you're just there going, what? Like, why would you have an entire season that builds up to this game that does not have VAR to go, oh, yeah, why not?
Yeah. And I know that, like, Crewe got given a penalty against Crawley that was never a penalty in a million years, and VAR overturned it. But I don't care. I'd rather they just that Crewe just had the penalty. I think Crawley had won that game anyway. So, how bad are your nerves, do you reckon? How bad are your nerves now? Now that you've talked about it for half an hour, how bad do you think it's going to be on Sunday?
I think I'm going to be okay with it, but I think that's match practice that I've had leading into this. Of I've been disappointed enough in person. I'm sure once more won't kill me.
Which was it? You went to the Watford one in Cardiff and didn't go to Domi?
No, I went. I was at both.
Oh, did you go to both?
Yeah. Okay. Nary a goal.
Oh, of course you went to Don. Of course you went to Donny. I
saw you.
But also like the way that I got tickets. It was your season ticket. I was queuing with for 20 odd hours.
Yeah. I don't know if. I mean, by the end of the game, I definitely won't have protected myself enough emotionally. But I feel like I have right now.
Yeah.
That. It will come full time and I'll be gutted, but they will just be there going, yeah, but you saw that coming, didn't you?
Yeah.
You can't have nice things.
Whereas I've, for a couple of days in a row, like, been sat on the sofa and Sarah said, Jack, you haven't said anything for like 15 minutes. What's wrong? And I'll just go, oh, nothing. And were you thinking about the game again? Yeah. Yes, I was. For the league games through the season, I'm quite good at doing. I'll just stay out there. I'm a bit of a pessimist, so it'll be fine. This, it's not like Donny, where I was really confident we were going to win, and therefore it hurt like fuck when we didn't. I'm not massively confident. I'm probably 55-45 against. But I just wish it would be Sunday already. I am sure that there has been 18 days this week. It's been the longest fucking week. I cannot believe how can it not be Saturday yet, even?
I think for me, I think at this point, I think I'll be okay if I can come away from that game knowing we've made a game of it. I think that's the big thing that I've not been able to take away from one of these games yet is knowing that we have. Yeah, we only lost 1-0 to Doncaster, but we didn't.
We were shy.
We were shy. We didn't make them work for that win.
There was only Kasper Ankergren that was any good.
Yeah. And you just if you come away from a game like that and you've lost, but you've made Southampton work for it, I can live with that. That and the fact that I don't really like the Premier League, and if we're not there, I'm sort of okay with it. Like, I want us to be the best team in the world, but I also understand that that means having to go to the Premier League, and it's not a nice thing.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I want some sort of dream team, Ted Lasso-esque, look at us with our reasonable
budget. How dare you?
I'm sure they have both won awards.
Jamie Parker is spinning in his grave right now.
And about 17 other players. If you can come away from Wembley and know that they've absolutely fought for it, and we've had a go, and they've left it all on the pitch, I can live with that at this point. I just don't think I can sit there and go, fuck's sake, lads, can one of you just play like you're a footballer today, please?
Yeah. So that's the only thing that we have to say is, for all the things that we're worried about, will pressure get to them and stuff, Southampton fans will be saying the exact same thing. They'll be, like, you know, they had some big games this season, you know, winning away at Ipswich and throwing it away and losing. They've had a bit
was
of...
Was that 10-man Ipswich? Or did Southampton lose the man at the end?
I think it was Southampton got one.
It was Southampton who just then stopped defending.
They will have all the same things. So I'm expecting a really nervy opening 10. and then we'll see how the game settles. I've just checked, because it doesn't really matter about the match prices, because it's just about who wins the tie. Bookies have got Leeds 4-6, Southampton 11-10. I've said before, based on the games I've seen this season between the two teams and the relative squads, I think that that is a bit more in our favour than it should be, but I think it being tight is fair.
I think I'm a touch surprised by it, purely because, yes, any given Sunday and all that, but Southampton have looked comfortable against us in both games this season. So I think I'm slightly surprised that we've come out as the favourites.
Yeah. I have had predictions in from Connie and Alex, and both of them have got Leeds winning 2-1.
I am going to go 2-0 win.
Well, I am so expecting extra time. I'm going 1-1.
Please tell.
I know. I mean, we are. But, like, I mean, this is true, actually, this quote we've just had from Easy. We have the best team we've ever had outside the top flight. Players are young and ambitious. There's no chance our players will be nervous in a bad way. We are favourites. I mean, we are favourites. I'm not sure Joey Dewey's, but them, I can't tell from the name. Them saying that players are young and ambitious and this is the best team we've had outside the top flight, I absolutely agree with that. Well, apart from whatever Revy had in Division 2, like, because I wouldn't know. And I don't really know exactly how good Wilkinson's was in, like, 89, 90.
I mean, I don't know. That's probably
after player to player. This squad is definitely better than Bielsa's, and it's definitely better than like the best of Grayson's.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind that discussion actually after the season's finished, comparing this team to the Bielsa team and sort of who I'd end up going for. But it's a fucking fantastic team. Like you look at the quality there, that it's. Yeah. It's absolutely like it's terrifying to me, because I've already eyed up the moves for several players. I've already got Crescencio Somerville at Crystal Palace next season if we don't go. He just fits the bill. Like, he is ideal for them.
What, to replace Elise or one? Only I think they'll only sell one of them, but whichever one of them goes to Chelsea or Scum or whichever
one of Elise or Eze goes, he will be the replacement and he will fit like a glove.
He'll fit like OJ's glove and be back on loan by January.
Well, okay, that's not the comparison point I was going for with that, but sure, yeah.
What other glove joke can I make?
Yeah, true. The other side of it is, I think more than any other playoff game we've gone into before, is knowing that if we don't win, how many of these players won't be here next season? But Brendan Aaronson might be, so...
He won't.
No, he won't.
Yes, I will.
Won't.
It's weird. I go through fits of fancying us and not fancying us to do it. I do have a lot of that, but I really like this team, so I don't want to see it all broke up. Gun to my head, if someone said, you have to pick, are you going up or are you not? I would have to just go with no. Like, if it was just like, you know, if it was your life depends on it, pick one. But it's like 51-49. In fact, I'll say 52-48, because that's a better thing for bad things happening. So yeah, but obviously you've gone for the win, so you are a lot more confident than me.
Yep, blind confidence.
But yeah, I'm going to feel physically sick. Probably all of Sunday. And what do you have to say?
Yeah. It's a long drive down. It's a long drive back if you lose. Yeah, it's a long drive back if you win.
If you win, it's 25 minutes.
Well, famously, I mean, Newcastle's not an far hour outside London. Yeah. Hey, Adrian Neville, not far outside of London.
Yeah. So that will, I think, do us for episode 271. So everyone else on the pod is more confident than me, which I am high of it. That's sort of where my worry is, but God, I hope you're all right. You can all call me you can call me whatever name you want. If I'm wrong, I'll be delighted to be wrong.
Yeah. Just like I say, just do make us proud. And I know it's a really soppy thing to say, but just do yourselves justice. Make us proud.
That is, I must admit, like, obviously, winning is everything. If we play shit and win 1-0, I'd be fucking delighted. But if we go out, if those players go out and actually turn up and play well, if they play like they did against Norwich, they'll win. Because Southampton were good against West Brom, but they weren't as good as we were against Norwich. If we play like we did against Norwich in that second leg, if we play to that standard, not necessarily in the same way, because if we play in the same way, I think we'd get countered too much. But if we play that well, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's a huge if, though, with all of those nerves and everything. But we will see. So, I dare say we'll be back probably Monday.
Yep.
But well, depends on work, because unfortunately I couldn't get more than one day off for the playoff final, so having to do all the journeys in one day.
Ooh. Fun.
Which again, if we win, will be great. This is Southampton you're talking about, not Liverpool. You're right. Weirdly, I think that I would be more confident that we would score against Liverpool. They'd score because we're a better team, but Liverpool always chuck one in. But no, I am always a pessimist. I am always of a very nervous disposition about big games, and that won't change. But you know, I'm only right the majority of the time. we have fucking due something nice happening.
No, mate, we got it. We got it when fans weren't allowed to be there. Be happy with it.
That's why we're so due something nice to happen. So hopefully it happens this time. So I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey, have a good one.
Going up.